Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel found in John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is God's word. First of all, we need to kind of sort out a few little details about our gospel this morning, because there's a little bit of confusion here. The gospel is from the gospel of St. John, but it's a different John than we actually read about in our text. The John we read about in John 1, 6 through 8 and 19 through 28 is John the Baptist. The one who wrote the book, called John, was one of the 12 disciples, a follower of Jesus, John the Evangelist, brother of James, son of Zebedee. So two different Johns, so we need to keep that straight, first of all. But the second thing is a little bit more important question that I think we need to ask is, what's with all these missing verses in our gospel? Every once in a while, our text will do this. You'll get a reading from John 1, 6 through 8, 19 through 28, 31 through 36. What's that all about with all these missing verses? I think we should ask ourselves that this morning. What is being left out of our gospel? Because it's actually some really, really important stuff. We read in verse 9, we heard verses 6 through 8, right? I just read them again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Verse 9 says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. See, John chapter 1 is one of the most beautiful pieces of all of Holy Scripture. It's this beautiful chapter about Jesus and who he is. That Jesus is truly God. That Jesus is God taking on human flesh to live among us. If you want to get more on John 1, you got to come back on Christmas Day at 9 o'clock, because that's the appointed gospel for that day. Spoiler alert. But the reason they eliminate some of these verses is because during Advent, we focus a lot on John the Baptist. We did that last week. We had from Mark chapter 1, 1 through 8, we heard about John the Baptist, the one who came saying, the one who comes after me, I am not worthy to stoop down and unstrap his sandal. We get the same thing again today. John the Baptist is one of those Advent kind of characters. But it's ironic that this reading about John the Baptist eliminates a lot of the verses that point us to Jesus Christ. Because that was the whole point of John the Baptist, to say, don't look at me, don't look at John the Baptist, look to the one who comes after me. And in John, he's referred to as the light. Now that's a really important distinction in the Bible, that distinction between light and darkness. I mean, we understand that all ourselves, even the smallest child, understands the difference between light and darkness. And John is a witness about the light. He comes to point all of us to the light, because we are indeed a people lost in darkness. Now I want you to stop and think about those two themes of light and darkness. Because the Bible, like I said, loves to use these themes. St. John especially, not John the Baptist, the one who wrote the book, also loves to talk about the themes of light and darkness. Because St. John didn't just write a gospel, he also wrote three letters in the New Testament, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. And all throughout Revelation and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in his gospel, John is constantly contrasting between light and darkness. And in the Bible, the light is associated with all the good, holy things of God. holiness, righteousness, life, God himself, Jesus Christ, who calls himself the light of the world. But the darkness is used to describe sin, death, Satan. In fact, there's a biblical name that maybe some of you have heard for Satan. He is referred to as the Prince of Darkness. Darkness can be overwhelming. If you've ever been through a power outage where there's no moonlight or there's no stars out, it's cloudy and there's just utter darkness, or the blackest night, it's terrifying. And you can think of the effects that that darkness brings upon you, a chill, disorientation, and fear. It just grips you, kind of crawls deep inside of you. But on the other side is light. The brightest light is so bright our eyes can't even receive it. Think of the sunlight. Not one of us can look into the sunlight. Think of what happened during the total eclipse this past year, which didn't really affect this part of the country. We got a little bit of it in Puerto Rico, but in the parts that were really impacted, that halo of sunlight could burn the eye if you looked too closely at the intensity of the light. So both light and darkness have a power associated with them, just like good and evil, God and Satan, sin and holiness, life and death. Those are the two sides warring against each other throughout the pages of the Bible. And even today in this world we live in now, isn't it light versus darkness, good versus evil, God versus Satan, that which is holy and pleasing in God's sight against that which is wicked and evil in his eyes? John the Baptist came as the witness of the light because he has seen it. And so he testifies to it. He tells us about it so that we might know as well. He points us to the light so that we might turn out of the darkness. We need John the Baptist. So even though we get 2 weeks of him here in Advent, he's necessary. We need those within the church. Pastors, yes, but all of those parents, grandparents, teachers, friends, neighbors, family members, those who, like John the Baptist, call people out of the darkness to turn toward the light. The darkness, the night, is where evil is hidden. Think about it. The worst things that happen very often happen at night, don't they? The things that maybe we think are hidden under the cover of darkness, the things we think we can hide away, a relationship that a person shouldn't have, behavior that a person, especially a child of God, should not do. Those things are hidden in the dark. We think we can shut them away where no one can see them. That reality that sin and darkness and death and Satan are so closely related together should give us pause when we think about the ways we often conduct our lives. Those who've been given God's name and are called to live as God's children, doesn't always happen that way, does it? Because you see, when you choose sin over what pleases God, you're not just choosing to do something you shouldn't do. You are aligning yourself with darkness, with death, with Satan himself. So whether it's lust, whether it's sharing your bed with someone who's not your spouse, or pornography, or longing for someone else in your heart or in your mind, that is choosing death over life. It's choosing Satan over God, because they're all one and the same. Whether it's greed, worship of your money and your possessions, or an obsession over the material things you need to get. Again, it is choosing death, sin, Satan. It's darkness. Jealousy, your envy over others and your covetousness of what they have. Hate, evil words, evil thoughts, evil actions. These things are darkness. These things are death. And every single one of us has loved the darkness more than the light. But what happens when that light shines in the darkness? It always overcomes the darkness, doesn't it? In fact, when you've been in the middle of the darkest night, the power goes out or you just can't see around you, you search. Your eyes scan everywhere for the littlest bit of light. Maybe that's one of the greatest miracles of cell phones, is now when we're in the dark, we can pick that thing up and click it on. I've got a little bit of light. I can see what I'm doing. How many of you have done that before? Or we look for that little bit of, a little sliver of light under a doorway or something, the numbers on a digital clock, something to just help us orient ourselves. We long for the darkness, but God has put His Spirit in us. The Spirit that John the Baptist says that the one who comes after him will send. That Holy Spirit calls us to turn to the light. That Spirit within us says, look to the true light who is coming into the world. Again, our gospel says, John the Baptist came as a witness to bear witness to the light that all might believe in him. John calls us to repentance and calls us to look to the light, to look to Jesus Christ, the true light who comes into the world, the one who comes to be nailed to a cross, to spill his blood for you and for me, for every bit of lust in our hearts, every bit of greed, every bit of jealousy and envy, every bit of greed and hatred. The light has poured out upon it. The blood of Christ has poured out upon it. John the Baptist this morning says, look to the light. When John the Baptist was there near the River Jordan baptizing, it says the crowds came out to him. And he had to keep telling them, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not the prophet. In a way, he was Elijah. He was the new Elijah that was foretold that would come. In a way, he was the prophet that people were looking for. But John knew they were just looking for a spectacle. He wanted them to see that it was not about him. It was about the one who comes after him. It was about looking to the light. And in Jesus Christ, the true light has come. In this world that, let's face it, is covered in darkness. Darkness you see on the evening news, or more likely that you read on your news website of choice. The darkness you hear about, the problems in other people's lives, your friends and your family, the darkness you're experiencing yourself. There is one true light that scatters this darkness of sin, death, Satan, all of it. That light is Christ our Lord. We are now 3 weeks into Advent. The Advent wreath grows brighter and brighter. Three of the four outer candles are lit. It's meant to remind you that we draw closer and closer to the light of the world who comes to us. Next Sunday morning, we'll light the last outer candle and the full ring will be lit. And then next Sunday night, as we gather on Christmas Eve and the next day on Christmas Day, the middle candle will be lit, the Christ candle, that reminds us that indeed the true light has come into the world. The light has come to scatter the darkness, and the light always overcomes the darkness. Always. It reveals everything you think you've hidden, but it also says, I have shed my blood that your sin may be forgiven. This morning, as we live here in darkness, as we grapple with the darkness of sin in our lives, We look for little bits of light in the darkness to help orient ourselves. And though we don't see Jesus in the flesh, even though he doesn't come to us in his physical body as he did in Bethlehem or as he will do on the last day, he does still come to us. In fact, his body and his blood are still here with us. He gives us small glimpses of that light that we might know we are not in darkness. He gives you his word. He gives you absolution that says all your sins are forgiven. He gives you your baptism where he says you are God's child. He gives you the bread and wine, which are his body and blood, which are his real presence among you. Those things are lights that are actually the true light, that are meant for us to find our way through the darkness. Despite the darkness of sin that envelops this world, that maybe is enveloping you this morning, none of it's hidden. All of it's revealed in the true light who comes into the world. And despite all of it being revealed, the true light, Jesus Christ, has said, I am your Savior. I have died for you. This is all forgiven. This is all paid. Live in my love and walk in the light. God grant that each of us would walk in the light of Christ today and always. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.